In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
This is Jim Hoffman,
and this is Josh Knapp,
and we have... Dave is here, too. David Brenner is
I'm here, too.
Brenner's with us.
Not the dead guy.
Not the dead guy, no. Yes. Yes, the world famous, you're not the rest of the world famous, you're more the local famous.
Industry famous.
Regional, right, industry famous.
I don't know.
One, and then you've got the, world famous comedian...
Yes.
That passed away. 78 years old.
Yeah.
So, God bless.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. Hopefully we could put a lot of information out about the show tonight, so hopefully we'll have some activity in the chat room regarding this. Just... I had promised that we had talked about this TV show, Sirens.
God, another EMS TV show.
Well, we talked about it, and it wasn't officially on the air yet. They had some sort of teaser stuff and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But now they've got a couple of shows that have been released. They've, been... pretty active now on things like Facebook, trying to, promote the show and get it out there. And listen, they 150, almost 147,000 likes on Facebook. It's pretty good. You have 20,000 of them are talking about it. So,
right.
Got something to say about it.
Well, you got a show by Dennis Leary, who is putting a decent amount of advertising. I mean, I've been catching it on primetime.
Yeah.
And it's, a big budget USA comedy. So
yeah. I like about it.
There is an investment into it.
Yeah, I mean, the new episodes. When it comes on, I have to wait for the reruns. So if you're lucky enough to watch the reruns.
Well, boo-hoo for Jim.
Yeah, I know.
Has to watch the reruns.
I know. Well, my whole life is reruns.
Yeah, well, unlike, the fancy New Yorkers who have those things called DVRs, and they just set it to record.
I don't have it yet. It was someday.
When
I can rub two nickels together. I'll be able to get that.
You mean when you move on from EMS and get a real job?
No, I have EMS is a real job.
Remember? send all nasty emails.
Yeah, all nasty emails. Yeah. Well, I wanted to, I guess, looking at, Josh, I don't know if you've picked up on it or not, or you've...
I pick up on everything. I'm very wise.
I mean, looking at some of the feedback on the show from the EMS end of it, I'm not getting that many people as, like, with the trauma show. And stuff. You're not getting that sort of dislike and disdain for the show.
I think
people are taking it for what it is, a comedy.
Right.
So it's pretty...
But trauma was also, I think, in the classification of this is why you can't have nice things. Because, follow me on this. I mean, there was an uproar. There was a community... pushback like rarely I have seen us be. If we could only be united with that in terms of education level or work conditions or pay, we would not have something to bitch about. I mean, the EMS community came together over trauma like you've rarely seen. Now, it could have been because it all was a perfect storm, social media really, you know, being new and shiny, and this being, you know, an EMS finding a voice in social media. I can't explain it, but it was there. And what happened was, and I don't know if it was a result. I mean, everybody, all the industry rags that said Tron was basically pulled because of ratings, and there was some mention given to the uproar in the EMS community. Uh-huh. And I think that what happened was we are a little – well, one thing is we're a little more desensitized because there was a few EMS programs that had come out, and they went away. And we said, well, you know, hey, wait, you know, you're not – even though we don't like it, you know, it was – it's like the old joke about the person who complains about dinner. The food tastes terrible, and it's in such small portions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they sat there and they bitched about this, but at least it put EMS front and center, and people were actually asking us about our jobs. You know, is it like trauma? You know, do you actually do things like that? Can you? And then they took it away. And I think that the community was, like, a little stunned that they took it away. I don't think that everybody thought it was necessarily a good thing. So I think that some of the responses on this are on sirens is a little bit more muted for a combination of reasons. One is that we're sort of holding our tongues. Number two is we're being a little bit more mature about how we look at it. You know, it doesn't have to do, we don't have to put in how should I say this? You don't have to put a non-rebreather on exactly the correct way in order to get the point across. I mean, nobody's picking it apart in saying, oh, they didn't use the correct size ET tube for that person, you know. They didn't use the right sequence of drugs for a RSI, you know. But on the flip side of that, if you watch the show, there's very little actual EMS that gets done on the show. It's really
and that's what I was gonna, yeah, that's what I was going to kind of point out, that I think maybe part of it is because it wasn't produced, it's not being advertised and marketed as a drama where, like ER or like the old emergency show was, where it's being sort of marketed as a serious, life-saving sort of a show. It's marketed as a comedy, you know. It's marketed, I guess, as a way to kind of show maybe some of its exaggerated ways of what goes on, you know, out in the field, you know, behind, you know, the doors of the ambulance and stuff like that. I mean, I kind of get a little concerned with, you know, episodes where the ambulance gets stolen type thing, you know, getting the kid drive away in the ambulance.
Why is that? Well, why is that particular thing?
Well, it's not just that particular thing. I just think that when you show that on TV, and I'm not saying it for, you know, the whole terrorist end of it, but, you know, you might get kids who think, oh, my God, that was pretty cool. They stole it on TV, and they drove around with it, and nothing happened to them.
They did a job.
Right, and they somehow miraculously picked up some patient on the side of the road and took them to the hospital. Now, yeah, you had to dispel your disbelief or whatever for that, because, you know, that's not the reality. It's part of the show. But I think, you know, that aspect of it, you know, can hold some level of concern. But again, it's the type of thing where, you know, you hope that people that watch it and see that are like, okay, this is a comedy. In real life, you're not going to steal an ambulance. In real life, you're not going to, you know, take the paramedic's phrase of, yeah, go ahead, go check out the ambulance, as, you know, go ahead, get in the front seat and drive away. type thing.
Wait, you guys don't do that?
No, I try not to. I did like that scene, though, because they were doing the whole thing with speed PR, you know, trying to teach it really fast because they wanted to get to a, you know, to a sports game. And that I thought was kind of funny because they were, you know, they volunteered to do something, and then but they really didn't want to do it. I mean, I've done that where I volunteered or, you know, doing some sort of special event or some sort of community-type thing. And after the fact, I was backpedaling and trying to find any way I can to slip and slide and not have to, you know, follow through with it. You know what I mean? So for that aspect, I you know, can see that end of it. Like they give the rookie the thing and tell him, you know, he's in charge. You know?
The first time I taught CPR, I wasn't even, I have to admit, I wasn't even certified. It wasn't a CARD certification course. It was a course given to auxiliaries as part of a first aid. Mm-hmm. But it was like, hey, Josh, you're an EMT. You know CPR. Go teach other people how to do it.
Yeah.
That
I mean, listen,
my famous break into teaching.
I think that there is, you know, to me, I think the show is fairly, you know, humorous. I haven't looked at it and been doubled over laughing or anything like that. But you know, some pretty funny parts, and I think that they're getting some good feedback on their page on Facebook anyway. When you talk about the social media end of it, I mean, there's people on there who put up pictures of the real life, you know, with one here, one guy put on my real life science crew, and they've got three guys on there that kind of look like the Sirens people. I think it's pretty interesting, and, you know, some people talk about, you know, they think the film's very funny, and they think the real life true story that can really happen, and to a point, like I said, some of these stories are exaggerated. I think some of the stories as well, that if you've been out in the EMS, you know, there's stories that go on that are way wilder and even more crazy than what they've had on the show, at least so far.
Well, I mean, if you think about, you know, from real life to the screen type stories that, you know, are somewhat glossed over, but you know, not entirely, were some of the stories from Bringing Out the Dead.
Yeah.
You know, and when you talk to some of the guys that have been in New York City, I'll say New York City EMS because, you know, that was a wild, woolly, big city. It had a high crime rate back in the late 70s, early 80s. And some of the areas, you know, I mean, that's where you get sayings like the Bronx is burning. You know, and I know stories from people who say they've been there when, you know, EMTs jumped into cop cars and continued a pursuit. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff that you would think that could never happen. They're sitting there and swearing it happened.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a certain, like I said, I think there's a lot of stories out there.
But this isn't that.
And I think in any EMS, you know, system, you know, different, whether it's there's a certain amount of humor and a certain amount of, you know, shenanigans that go on. Yeah, I said shenanigans right around St. Patty's Day.
You did.
I said shenanigans. That's right. That go on, I think, in, you know, any garage you go into, whether it's a city garage, a volunteer, rural, suburban, you know, there's a certain amount of that stuff that happens. You know, it's not just a city thing or a busy system where, you know, they kind of goof around and do stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of off-the-cuff type thing. But, you know, one of the themes that were in this, in one of the shows that, you know, I could see, I kind of thought people might get up in arms about was the one where they had the guy that was struck by lightning, or he was right near the lightning, and he couldn't hear. So they were, you know, saying all kinds of crazy stuff to him, making fun of him and calling him names and stuff like that. And
yeah, that was mean.
Crazy
that
questions.
Was definitely mean-spirited, wasn't
you know,
that?
So I say to myself, okay, you know what? I mean, I've seen, you know, people do that to, you know, to less than optimal patients, you know. But, like, on the TV show, you're kind of showing that. And I think, you know, if you talk to people that are in EMS, I think a lot of people have done stuff like that, you know. Made comments to people who either couldn't understand them or because of a language barrier, because of an illness or an ailment. But then showing that on the show, it looks like it's something that goes on all the time. And I guess that would be a concern.
But
people didn't really jump on that. But people didn't really jump on that. And a lot of the social media stuff and Twitter and Facebook, I didn't see people really jumping on that aspect of it. They did think that that type of a scene was kind of funny.
But
you know,
in defense of that scene, and I was about to say everybody's done stuff like that, and that's not true. But what I meant to say is that in all professions where you deal with the public on one level or another, when there's a miscommunication or somebody doesn't understand, there's somebody saying something when they can't, you know, to exploit that miscommunication. I've seen it in cop shows.
Yeah.
I've seen it in the doctor shows.
Right,
I've seen
right.
It, you know.
So it's not unique to EMS. When you,
no,
like,
and
again,
I don't. So.
It's not unique to EMS. It's not a unique something that just an EMT or a paramedic might do. You know, you hear about it being done. You've seen other shows where they've done it in other shows, especially with patients that are drunk or that are being a bit of an ass type thing. You know, it's a sort of a way that they're getting back at that person. But you're going to get people who say, well, that's not really being, you're not professional by doing that. How kind of a professional are you when you do that type of a thing? But again, you know, you've got to look at it in the framework of a television show, you know.
Right. And, you know, even to the aspect of, you know, the last show was them, it was all about, basically the last show was catering to the sensationalism of the moment in social media, which is, I don't know if it's of the moment, but it's porn. And mm-hmm. So the whole episode was about porn. And, you know, that's an obvious pull for ratings. That's an obvious pull to get people who are not.
It's planned, I guess. I guess they should.
Yeah.
They're going to plan episodes like that to boost ratings and to. And I think when you talk about something like the porn angle, you know, it's something I think that the masses can.
Relate to.
Yeah, they can relate to it. So you're not trying to get somebody to kind of relate to somebody needing D50 or somebody who's in cardiac arrest or somebody who, you know, is septic or having a heart attack and whatever. So it's kind of a way to hook viewers.
Right.
They're doing what they can to hook viewers with relationships that they have on the show with, you know, the one guy is homosexual. One guy is brand new. He's a bit of a friggin', you know, dunce, I guess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I actually got an email from one of my members when I asked for feedback on the show, and he said his only complaint is that he just wishes that the black guy wasn't the gay guy. He feels like every black guy on TV nowadays is gay, and we're not all gay. I thought it was kind of...
That's kind of interesting. But, you know, I sort of wanted to get to the point of realism and what actually happens. And I think that, you know, we're definitely there where the stage is an ambulance. But after that, you lose the continuity with the real thing. Like all things, it has a hint of stuff that's real. Like, I know people who've gotten commendations for taking, you know, rising above and beyond and taking care of a patient, of locking up. How many people have been to a house and taken somebody out and made sure the you know the food was away and the, mm-hmm. the lights were off and you know the house was secure because they're probably going to spend a few days in the hospital or getting a phone number for their pet or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. so somebody can come. So, you know, the idea that they go back to do something in this guy's apartment, now erase his data on his computer, that's where it stretches out.
Right, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
The idea of going back isn't crazy.
And when I saw that part of the show, I was like, okay, you know, that comes into play sometimes where you'll get people who will go above and beyond for a patient who needs something like that done. And again, like you said, it's that part of it, I don't think anybody would probably agree with. I mean, that's really kind of out there to go back and erase data on somebody's computer. You know, I don't think it's out of the realm of people doing a little bit extra, you know, for a patient, you know, but something like that. But then you'll get other people, and this is the type of thing too, I think, man, when it comes to what goes on the show, is the segments of the EMS population, of the EMS providers out there who are going to take the hard view of, well, you don't go back and go into somebody's house because there's a liability there, and what if something gets stolen, or what if they blame you for something, and, you know, all these what ifs and how comes and unprofessional this, and that goes with all the stuff that you've seen on the show so far, the you know, the stealing of the ambulance, the, you know, trying to get it back without telling anybody, you know, chasing it down with a cop car, and you know, calling your cop friend to help you chase down the ambulance without contacting a supervisor or anything, or, you know, all these types of things that they do where you're going to get people who are going to take a hard look at that or take the hard sort of line and say, that's unprofessional. We don't do that. We're sending the wrong message to the public showing that we do this type of stuff. It's too much. And, you know, but then you're going to get people who are going to say, you know what, this is a comedy. It's supposed to be a little bit, you know, out of the realm of reality. You take a lot of, comedy shows, you know, they're not based on real, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of it that is going to be fake, you know, and that's to make it funny. That's to make it a little outrageous. You know, it's supposed to be entertaining, and that's why I think when you talk about shows like Trauma and then this type of a show, you've got less, I think, of a push of it being horrible for EMS and horrible for, you know, the industry and the profession of EMS, and you do something like Trauma, because people aren't really necessarily looking at it like you said, Josh, oh my God, they didn't put the narrow breather on correctly, or they didn't... you know, do CPR, or they don't land helicopters this way, or they didn't board and collar somebody, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right. I think,
and I don't think, you know, if you went to pick it apart, I think that you'd be, mistaken to do that, and I think that it's far enough. It's
pick
almost
apart. You pick apart the medical
the
aspects of it.
Right, the details, the EMS realistic
one thing
details. You'd lose right away.
One of the things you mentioned early on, Josh, was that the last time we talked about this, and maybe we might have even talked about this privately, was the fact that the third person on the ambulance, which isn't every ambulance doesn't have a third person, where they cut away pretty much the whole back part of the truck so that they could have him sitting there. And he's not belted in. He's like sitting on a milk crate type thing, you know. You know, how that is sort of immediately, you know, not something that goes on. You know, that's not the way the ambulances really look. You know what I'm talking about?
It's very funny. I actually got a text message from a friend of mine who works at the same, well, he used to work. I haven't seen him for a while at Presby, but he's definitely up north in northern Manhattan EMS. And he says, realm of reality, they call a Life Pack 15 a toaster, for Christ's sakes. And that's, you know, that's sort of what you get at. But it's like, yeah, absolutely. Nobody frickin' calls our defibrillators toasters, all right? I've never heard that. And I don't even know. That must be a California thing, all right? But with that said, you're not watching it for that. I mean, in the, I do sound like I'm defending the show, but I found it entertaining. I like Dennis Leary's oversight of writing and his humor. And I don't think that this is a real EMS show. I think it's, you know, they use an ambulance as a stage, and that's it. It's not a really a show about EMS, though. So.
Right. And well, somebody had said...
Well, and I can enjoy it that way.
And somebody, yeah, you know what, I think maybe that's what it is, Josh, too, is people can enjoy it in that way. You know, it's, somebody had said, you know, that they're disappointed because they thought it was going to be much more like Rescue Me was, and it's not. You know, and they don't anticipate the show lasting because it's nothing like Rescue Me.
It's, you know what, Rescue Me had more of an edge. You know, and I was, you know, I'm so damn pro EMS.
It was a comedy. It was a comedic sort of undertone of Rescue Me. Yeah, but it, like you said, it was much, you know,
edgier
than this show is. You know, who knows? Maybe they're gonna have. They've got episodes in the can that are gonna come out and be a little more serious at times, and you know, and they're gonna have sort of a comedic view on it. Who knows? You know.
Yeah, I'm trying to read David Cohn's thoughts here. He's in the chat room, and he says, "I think my buffering's gone." Okay, the big difference between Sirens and Trauma is that people can relate to Sirens, and no one was able to relate to Trauma. Then he's talking about the crate, and yeah, I mean, I miss the milk. Back in the day when we preached safety but didn't really play it, used to have a milk crate between the two front seats, and that's where the new guy sat.
Yeah,
and that's what they're sort of emulating this go around.
They are. I mean, it's even
a frame for a shot, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is too is that, you know, it's the type of thing that Dave says too in the chat that it still goes on, and I think it does because I think as a new person, you're sitting in the back of the ambulance, you can't see or hear shit back there unless you
squeeze that to our advantage too. Don't think we don't.
Unless you can squeeze, you know, and you got to squeeze to that little space there to try to hear and see what the hell's going on in the front of the ambulance as a new person. Otherwise, you're just sitting in the back and they tell you when to get out and get in type thing. You know,
right.
You're kind of forced to sort of have that milk crate, you know, mentality to kind of get between, you know, that little space to see what the hell's going on. Now, on the show, it's much bigger. They do away with that the one part of the wall. But like you said, Josh, it's more of a the stage.
Well, we don't even
one
do
of
that
the stages,
anymore.
One of the sets, I guess, for the show.
It is. I mean, the whole idea that the whole divider, the whole bulkhead between the passenger and driver compartment is removed. So you can see straight back. I mean, that doesn't exist anywhere. So, you know, they're doing it, obviously, for the shot. They're sitting all three of them together for the shot. Uh-huh. In reality, you know, the milk crate has gone away in lieu of safety concerns. I mean, we used to have a milk crate in our buses. We don't anymore, specifically for that reason, because, you know, the powers that be said, you know, the practice of sitting between the two seats unstrapped on a milk crate is dangerous. And in an emergency vehicle, it's not something that you should be doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, so there are details like that. Big whoop. You know, there are details like they go back. There are details they call the EMTs are defibrillating using a LifePak 15. You know, there's no right. I would, you know, as far as criticism, I sit there and everybody's an EMT. I would much rather them all be medics. I don't know why they're stressing that they're EMTs. And it seems like,
you know,
the show totally ignores medics.
I didn't even catch that. Is that what they are? They're all EMTs?
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's a medic. And I'm like, what the hell? I mean, you know.
But they are going. I mean, like I said, there was the one episode where he said he's D50. And you know what? They might be doing that just to make it clearer. You know, what's the difference if they say they're all EMTs or they're all paramedics? At least they're keeping some sort of consistency.
And with that said, I'd rather them say medics, because I could go with, you know, I'm sure that there would be medics who saying, oh, EMTs don't do that, or, you know,
yeah,
or whatnot. And
so
then
for that reason, you think that it might be better if they did that because of the reason of
I'd rather
people bitch, that's not real.
No, I don't give a crap about people bitching, honestly.
I mean, as far as it being realer by saying they're all paramedics, so that when they're you know, cardiovering somebody or they're giving a medication and things like that, when they say paramedics, it lessens the chance of, you know, people complaining that it's not real enough. Well, that's not the way it goes in real life. That's not the way it is.
Well, to cycle back to some of our other shows and even maybe draw Dave in, who's been silently on
the
outside.
You're very quiet, Tony.
Well,
I have something to say.
Okay. All right. You know,
I was wondering whether or not they just didn't bother to do their research and realize that, you know, we should be saying paramedics. It opens us up for much more, not only correctness, but, you know, the full extent of the field. And not that there's anything wrong. You could have had an EMT and a paramedic. Two paramedics and an EMT.
Right, and they've done that, like, in trauma, they were doing that.
But, you know, like, they couldn't bother. I mean, you don't want to go up there, or maybe they're planning on. But if you're planning on drawing in paramedics, then you don't give these guys, you know, surprising paramedical powers.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the point that I was getting to, in an ulterior motive type of way. I'd sort of like what the public gets to know of us. I don't mind that they know that we carry around sophisticated equipment and can do sophisticated things, but I'd rather them identify with a higher level of training. So when it comes down to dropping buzzwords at the next community meeting, they drop paramedic instead of EMT. Just my thought.
But I wonder if I don't know, maybe they're not concerned about that, or they didn't, they're not focusing on that because they don't want it to be opened up for that sort of scrutiny, you know, where they don't want people to stop being like they did with this trauma show, where they say, well, paramedics, you know, don't do that. If it's an EMT, they can back up and always sort of defend themselves. Say, well, no, you know, EMTs don't do that. I mean, you know, EMTs can't do that anyway. So what are you worried about? Type thing. So I don't know. It's hard to.
We have to step away from fact and fiction. And say that we're not going to judge this based on that. We're judging this on cleverness of writing, the situation the guys get themselves into. Are the hijinks funny enough? Because I'm not looking at this show to do a research paper on how EMS operates.
I do.
Oh, well, then, fuck.
Screw that. Go ahead. You know. At that point. Now, Dave in the chat room is saying that they do refer to Kevin Daniel, the black guy, as a paramedic.
No. Remember in the speed CPR?
I can't even freaking say it.
I can't even say it. He said, I'm an EMT. I mean, maybe they are using the word interchangeably. I don't know, Dave. I mean, I'd have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I have to take a closer look the next time I watch it and see that. I didn't catch that either, so I can't really say for sure. I mean, I know Josh is saying that's what you've picked up on. I haven't really paid that much attention to that end of it, to be honest with you. What they were being called.
And I'll be honest with you, what I've seen so far, it was amusing. I'll probably continue to watch it.
Yeah, I think so.
Professional interest, and because it was amusing. You know, it's probably one of the first shows to drop off the agenda as soon as I get busy. But, you know,
But again, I think that part of it, Josh, is that they're trying to, I think they're using a lot of broader sort of topics and ways to, I guess, to try to hook that.
Appeal to a more, a broader
right. They
audience.
Want to hook viewers, and that perhaps maybe in the future they're gonna you know, break down more into, characters and things like that. I think even with Rescue Me in the beginning, they were doing a lot more firefighting than they were anything else.
And I was just going to get to that.
That sort of, you know, became less and less and became more of a character-driven, what was going on with the characters and their relationships and their troubles and things like that. And they didn't do as much with the fire end of it, you know.
But
when you talk about a firefighter show, I think it's easier.
We've talked about this. Firefighters are easier. They're more exciting. The public identifies with them.
Right, I was going to say, it's much easier for the public to sort of identify with, okay, this is a fire truck.
Right.
They put out fires. They don't give a shit about the other stuff the firemen do, things like overhauling and venting rooms and, you know, chain, and them using the
chainsaw.
Responding to carbon monoxide alarms.
Right. They don't get into all that
out batteries,
stuff. Those are the new
accidental activation.
Right. It's all it is. It's just the other fire. They're putting it out. It's dangerous. And then we deal with the characters. And I think when it comes to EMS, it's much more difficult to make it broad as far as what we do for people that call 911. I mean, you get called for every aspect of a patient's medical problem, everything from that cut finger to the cardiac arrest, you know. So,
and, you know, on a public eye, EMS is also losing their PR identity. I mean, if you think about it, that picture of if you go back to the Oklahoma City bombings, the picture of the firefighter taking the child out of, I think he was a medic. I'm not sure if he was a full firefighter, but he was taking the child out of the building. You know, the pictures that you see of the response, we're dressed in very similar turnout gear, sometimes the same turnout gear. We wear close to the same helmets. New York City, they have subtle changes, but the public probably won't pick up on that. So, you know, when it comes to that imagery, Rescue Me was able to capitalize on that very easily. You know, my friend just texted me again, and he just pointed out, he said, all these guys wear exactly the same uniform with the exact same insignia, exact same markings, and that's part of the point. We distinguish. EMS, we look and we distinguish because, you know, whether you wear a white patch or another patch is a big difference to us because it tells the level of service that you can provide on a job. And so we're trained to look for that. The public is not.
Yeah, talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Think about that now.
chew on that one.
Well, they have differentiation, certainly, in the fire service and in the police departments, but they just don't wear it so obviously. You know, they know who's confined space. They know who's, ice rescue, they know who's hazmat, they know who's the technician, who's at operations, and it's just much more subtle if it's on the uniform at all.
Right, right. And I don't think that, I wonder, you know, the people behind this, there's big money behind this. They put a lot of thought into how they present this and what they're doing with this and rolling out a show about EMS instead of another fire or a cop show is probably to, you know, command a bigger audience. But I don't think, you know, that those details escape them and that they probably do it to have people actually pick up the chatter, so to speak, and talk about it more frequently. Yeah, I don't think that it's not. I don't think it's necessarily just by accident or oversight.
Well, keep in mind too. I mean, this show was something that was a show that was going on in England you know, for a while that they've adopted, you know, for the U.S., just like that show, you know, The Office, and, you know, bringing it here and giving it that U.S. spin, you know, on it. So there is, I guess it must have been, I'm not sure how long it was going on there or how successful it was, you know, but it's not they took it out of nowhere. They're taking it from, you know, from England and bringing it here, you know.
That's so true. You have to consider that. I'm sort of looking at it as this idea that it's a USA phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Well, Dave said that it was only one season in the UK. But I wonder, Dave, if maybe because it's, I don't know, maybe because, you know, you got Dennis Leary involved and he's got the Rest of Me sort of brand behind him, you know, first responder type thing, that it, you know, maybe to get a little more traction, but that, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, those are things that we absolutely won't know. You know, we can only judge it on face value, and again, you know, boy, do I feel like I'm in a corner of this show. I'm not.
You must have stock or something going on in the show.
They're sending me T-shirts.
Again, beating their drum like crazy. Yeah, I saw that. You want a T-shirt? I saw that post.
Yeah, that was a fixed contest though. Yeah, totally rigged.
I want a freaking T-shirt.
I did.
Get a T-shirt. Relax.
But like a third T-shirt. I'll wear it to work. It's benign. It's benign. You know, I really don't give a shit that they don't get every detail right here. You know, I think that the problem is, because I keep on wanting to use Rescue Me as an example, and the trouble is the firemen, you know, the firefighters that I knew loved Rescue Me because it really painted them in a slightly over-glorious light. It didn't show them walking through a burnt place and picking up, you know, jewelry and saying, oh, it was lost in the fire. You know, it wasn't something nasty like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if they had shown that, they would have been up in arms.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but I don't really...
Leary, I think, has a great respect for firefighters and first responders. And I don't think he's looking to do anything that's going to, you know, make us look bad, in that way, you know. But again, this is a humorous show. There are some things that some people might consider in bad taste. And I've seen some of the comments on Facebook when they talk about that. It's too crude. It's too rude of a show. You know, it's not gonna last. You know, you know what I mean?
Mhm. I'm trying to multitask here, which I'm not doing a good job at. You know, receiving tweets and reading what Dave is saying. But and I'm looking at what Dave's saying here, and he's really going into the difference and the sort of the social difference between the UK and the USA and how we view.
Humor,
view EMS.
Yeah, and humor. The humor is different.
And the humor is different too. And believe me, this.
Although
this
I did always enjoy Monty Python and Benny Hill.
You can't beat Benny Hill. And the saxophone solo that came with it.
That was a good show.
This is when we need a soundboard because I could definitely play the Benny Hill soundtrack right now.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. But I don't think, again, you know, I want to sort of get away from this micro-examination of is sirens representing EMS? Because I think that the premise that you have to go on is it's not. It's not, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's designed to do that.
It's using certain things as props. It's using the ambulance as a backdrop, but that's where the similarity ends.
But I think, too, Josh, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, there are, they're using it all as a backdrop, but there is a level of humor and antics that go on in EMS that, you know, go on behind the scenes the public doesn't know about, you know. And I think anyone that's been in EMS, you know, you've been a part of it. I mean, I know I have, you know, some things that I've done, and I will not say live on the radio. you know, might be perceived as dangerous, unprofessional, any of the above. But at the time when I was doing it, I thought they were hilarious, and so the people that were doing it with me. So, you know, it does go on, you know.
And it's on every...
But it goes in a lot of different professions and whatnot. You have that goes on. But I guess they're trying to... With this type of show, they have something that people identify with, which is an ambulance, you know, and they're showing some of the things. You know, people, I'm sure people do wonder, okay, where are they going? Wonder what happens when they get there. You know, and sometimes it's not always the person having a heart attack. Sometimes it is the crazy. I mean, how many times do you see stuff on Facebook when they have people put pictures of you know, a call that they had, or, you know, how many times did you see that picture of something of some guy's butt, you know what I mean, that went around forever and ever type thing. And that's the type of thing where people wonder what happens when they get to the call. Oh, some guy friggin' shoved something up his ass, and now it's an x-ray of it all over the place.
Right.
You know?
And where did those x-rays didn't come from the ambulance.
What?
The x-rays never came from the ambulance.
No.
And in the day and age when all patient information is strictly confidential, how the hell did those x-rays get out?
On your ambulances, you don't have x-ray machines.
Not anymore. I took them out because we couldn't have the lead vests were too hard to store in the cabin.
You're using MRIs now because of that.
Took hours,
right.
Yeah, it took hours out. So.
Well, the MRIs are okay as long as you don't use them in heavy traffic because it really...
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny when you use them in heavy traffic.
Everybody.
We had an armored car stuck to us all the way to the hospital.
It's ridiculous, you know, the hijinks that happens with MRIs now.
Well, I just take the tough book, and I have a picture of the human body on it, and I just wave it over the person's body when the cops call me to do an evaluation, you know, on somebody, so that they can just clear them and send them to jail. Can you evaluate them, you know? So I just take my tough book out, I put the picture of the human body, and I wave it down really slow. Yeah, exactly, really slow. Yeah. And then I actually have that on my cell phone. I have the Star Trek sounds, and I take that, and I make that noise as well.
You know, I'm so glad we're not in the new format yet, because I just spit my teeth through my nose on that one.
And I do that, and then this way people can, you know, then I show the cop, look, it's perfect.
Yes.
I show the patient, you're cured. And then I get the RMA, and I leave.
Yeah. No. Now, they'd only do that on Sirens.
Now, to do that on Sirens, I want a cut of that show if they take that idea of waving the thing, the phone or the computer over the person's body to show them a picture of a perfect skeleton. You know, I want a cut of that. Just saying. It's only fair.
Oh, God, have we beaten this horse to death?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah. What did I want to mention? Else I wanted to mention today. Well, we're trying. Josh, I'm still looking into the new format for the show. Hopefully,
if you crack jokes like that, I'm not doing it.
Hopefully, we're going to be able to maybe do a test one soon. I got to get Dave. I get you. Make sure we can get you on as well. And
what do I have to do?
We'll talk about it later. I don't wanna...
You got to put gel in your hair this time, Dave.
No, you don't have to put it on your hair. Actually, you don't have to see your face. You can just put a picture up, I guess, if you'd like. You don't even have to see your face if you didn't want to. It's just
to
a matter of being able to join in. You've got to have a certain amount of a certain account and whatnot. But it'll run right through the EMS Office Hours blog. We won't have to go through Blog Talk Radio. As I think will be easier for listeners to view. It'll be
available on your mobile device.
It'll be available on all the different devices, no matter what it is, iPhone, smartphone, iPad, computer. So I think it'll help us interact as well, because we can show things like the comments we've been talking about, and we can play clips from shows like this and kind of discuss a little bit and all that type of stuff. So I think it could be a good move for us show-wise, and I think even entertainment-wise, when it comes to trying to bring more interactivity, more engagement with the EMS community that listens to the show. You know, so I'm hoping that we can do that, hopefully, by beginning to mid-April. My fingers crossed goal for that, so I'm looking forward to that. Dave, one thing I want to talk to you about, too, maybe we can talk about that another show. It's not enough really time tonight, but got some emails about you and interested in your teaching methods that you've mentioned on the show before.
Oh, really?
So they'd like you to delve a little bit into those methods and how you feel.
Is that his use of cattle prod and memory retention?
No, no. Mm. Yeah, I know. But want to go ahead and see maybe if we can, maybe we'll do a show on that upcoming as well. Like I said, people have been expressing some interest. I got an email on that to maybe talk.
So one person, huh?
Well, this person.
Are you holding notes? Are you going to ignore one person, or does it have?
I know anybody.
The person's he's an instructor himself.
Somebody expressed interest.
An older member of the show. So, somebody used to be on the show quite often. So he's interested in that. So, hopefully we can, bring that out, because he listens to the show quite often, and I think it'd be interesting to get your take on that, Dave, and let you talk for a little while. Let me and Josh chime in, and you could be you could be the star of the show.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm up for it.
And of course, we know you're going to be in Garden City, Michigan.
I got all sorts of people. I posted it on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Garden City, and of course, in Garden City Hospital. And everybody on Long Island knows that there's a Garden City, but they don't know where that hospital is.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's not here.
Yeah.
It's up on the...
well, it's April 26th and 27th, right? You're doing your...
Saturday and Sunday, yeah. That's not the hospital. 12 lead. That had the needle problem.
What?
Everybody on Long Island, I mean, you're no longer in the New York area, Jim. You wouldn't have heard this. There was a hospital that had contaminated needles from diabetic syringes.
There was they don't actually know if there were any, but they seem to believe that a nurse or somebody said it's okay to use multi-dose insulin on different people.
Oh,
and there's no documentation that it ever happened, but that someone would say such a thing, mm-hmm, led the hospital to a very conservative and very proactive response, that they contacted everybody that they gave insulin to. I think it was 4,000, 6,000 people during this period of time, and said to them, you should get tested for HIV, Hep A, Hep B, and we're going to take care of that for you. You come in, we'll do it for free.
Mm, good for them.
So they're not. There's nobody who said that it happened. They just heard somebody say it. And that such a thought would be in a healthcare provider's mind.
Yeah. See, that's not funny.
It's not at all funny.
That's not something I would expect to see on Sirens.
Well, but we do know that it was being done in this office on Long Island about 3 years ago.
Mm.
The doctor was just reusing needles. Like, I don't get why.
Yeah. I mean, that's just plain, beyond callous. I mean, there's just something wrong with somebody in the medical community. There's enough problems going on
that we don't have to make our own.
Yeah. All right, now you've interrupted my plug for Dave. I'm going to continue. So Dave's thing is in Garden City, Michigan. Garden City Hospital. It's April 26th and 27th between 9 to 3.
And the good news is...
the topic?
12-lead EKG. Go figure.
Right, 12-lead ECG.
But this time, what's really interesting, first of all, is that Garden City Hospital is sponsoring it, so that nobody has to pay to attend it.
Oh, cool.
Really nice.
Oh, that's freaking awesome.
But well,
now,
Josh,
always
that,
a Garden
Josh,
City Garden
Josh,
City
like you,
employees.
They didn't get paid to be there.
Yeah, but
yeah.
David, not only for Garden City
you
employees.
You don't want to hear on that, David.
No. And the other thing is...
If I want to drive to Michigan, I can get in for free if I thought they get there.
That's it. And the other thing is Dr. William Nazzaro... is going to be co-presenting with me.
Harold, is William Nazzaro, is he from New York?
He is from New York. You know Billy?
Perhaps. How old is he? Is he an older guy?
No.
Oh, okay. I probably don't know him.
He's 37, 38 years old.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I knew a Nazzaro, a girl named Nazzaro. I thought maybe it was her brother or her father, perhaps.
Well, he has a sister, but let's not go there.
Yeah, I don't want to mention any names.
No.
So not that she's a bad person or anything.
I don't know what you're going to say. So I'm saying let's
right,
not
right,
go there.
Right. You don't want me to say anything to come out of my mouth on this unedited, unscripted.
I do know his father and his sister, and they're lovely. And I know his mother as well.
Then the sister and the father, and they're all sort of involved. They all sort of involved in. Healthcare and
absolutely not
marathons, perhaps
absolutely not.
Okay, well, they're not involved in marathons, and it's not who I think it is.
Okay, then.
All right. Thank God.
So wait a second.
Thank goodness I didn't mention any names. I got it all wrong, all backwards, all configurated wrongly.
You mean? You know, recounting that story with the farm animals would have been a mistake with those people.
I said, no, the girl is fine. Nothing wrong. There's nothing bad to say about the person. I was just, listen, I'm just saying it's a small world. I was wondering if I freaking knew the person.
Damn micro world.
And
like
perhaps
this.
I knew them. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I see some backpedaling here, but it's okay.
No, I'm not backpedaling.
So,
backpedaling is if I thought
when
is, when
is
deadly
this?
About somebody.
When is this course that you're doing, Dave?
This is, the dates, I believe, you're looking at it, 25th and 26th, I believe, April 25th and 6th.
26th and 27th, it says.
26th and 27th.
Yeah, I'll do it. You do the course, I'll friggin' say when it is.
All right.
Okay.
This way you can be there on time. If you show up on the 25th, it's going to be a problem.
Well, I'm going to be there on the 25th.
It's 2 days, both days. You got to show up for them.
Right.
That's right.
So listen, if anyone wants information that day, where can they get it? Just from your Facebook page, or do you have an email or anything like that you want to point?
Yeah, I do have an email. I do have an email. It's BrennerDavid12@AOL.com, okay. As in 12-lead EKG, David Brenner 12, the number 12.
Oh.
And they could ask me there, or they could just check it out on the Facebook page, as you have found. And
mm-hmm. Well, actually, I have a page on my website that I put up for you as well.
Yeah.
I
feel like a user.
I am a user. It's over. It's on emssdo.com / what the hell damn thing? Yeah, now I can't even see it myself. Trying to see that, get the link for people. You know what? It's a long thing. It's / 12-lead ECG interpretation course. But what I will do instead is put the link into the show notes so that people can see it there.
Wow, you are the best.
I got to change the date in the flyer.
You are the best.
I got to change the date and flyer. People can go to the website. They can download the flyer.
Sure.
This way.
Although I suspect that we're going to be limited to people who. who work or live in that area. And
that's fine. Like I said, listen, people listen to the show from all over. If there's somewhere in that area or in that general area, why not? I mean, maybe they don't know about it.
And the price is right, let me tell you.
It's perfect. That's a perfect price.
And we've applied for CME, CEU, and CU for... So we're hoping that they can use it for a research or continuing certification, depending upon where they are.
Oh, will there be refreshments?
They're paying for breakfast and for lunch.
Damn.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I might have to go there.
Mm. You can wait for one more local. You get comp.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
Will get to see the ending.
We've already covered, you know, where that lies and what gets approved and what doesn't get approved. So, you know, I may not get comp locally anyway.
Get comp by me.
Oh, well, great. Thanks. Thank you. I never mind.
But I'm not paying
you. And I'm getting a free Sirens T-shirt. This has been a great...
You're making out.
I really am.
You are making out, man. That's for sure.
By the way, that comping is non-transferable to you guys.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's you guys. Can't sell it on eBay.
I was about to run a contest.
There you go. Well, that might be something we can do one day.
All right. We'll talk about it.
There you go. All right, guys. Let's end it there so we can all go watch our favorite Sunday night TV shows. Well, not you, Dave. You don't watch TV.
Yeah. It's so wrong, but...
the rest of us will.
I don't watch as much.
Listen, Jim and I have to know how to carry on in the zombie apocalypse. We're both, you know, very big followers of that and look for the scientific accuracy of killing the Walking Dead.
I know. So, I look for the possibility that hopefully I'm still young enough to fight them off. Because if it happens, if it doesn't happen soon, I'm a goner.
You have whatever's on your left. Are you screwed?
I'm figuring that I'm too old. They're going to say his feet's too tough. They don't
your
want
food. No, they're going to eat you good.
Yeah. You sure?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they eat your stomach as you're still awake. And that's
your entrails?
Yeah.
They do. That's a scientific fact as well.
Yes.
They go for the guts first.
Yep.
They bite you on the arm, and then they go...
And infect you in case you get away.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's a little bit like a cobra bite.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But anyway, so we'll have to do a show on...
Is it true you have to double cap them?
Double tap? Double tap is always good, but that we learned in Zombieland.
Yeah, different.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain rules.
And even transfer?
You know... That would be an interesting discussion at another day.
All right.
Sorry, you're going to have to wait for that one, Dave.
I'm waiting. Breathless.
All right, guys. That's it, I guess. Hopefully we'll see everybody next week.
All right, Jim.
All right, guys.
It was a pleasure. You guys stay safe, and I'll see you next week.
Yep. All right, everybody, any questions? Any questions, comments, concerns, send them over to me. It's contact@emsofficehours.com. Until next week, as always, Jim Hoffman. Stay safe.